Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Reverend Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin today, my prayer is that the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and strengthen you today. And if you're listening to this on the radio, you're listening to the first broadcast of the new year for Good News Christian Ministries. And I want to wish all our listeners, wherever you may be, a happy new year. In fact, New Year's is a time when many people try to make a new start in their life. And this program is here for people who at any time want to make a truly new start in their lives through the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you today a scripture. It's a psalm. And the psalmist is making a prayer to God, and he's looking for a renewal and a new start with God. So let me read it to you now. In Psalm 85, it reads, "You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what the Lord God will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps." That wonderful prayer and praise of God is found at Psalm 85. We'll take a look at what that means in a few minutes. But first, I'd like you to hear a song that is also a simple declaration of love for God. It's sung by Marantha Praise Band, and the song is "I Love You, Lord." Would you listen to it with me?
Worship you.
As we look at today's scripture from Psalm 85, we see that the psalmist is making a very simple plea to God. And he says to God, "Restore us, God our Savior." He's making a plea not only for himself, but for his people, for the nation and the community that he lives in. Restore us again is a great plea, and I think it's something that is expressed in many hearts. It may be that as you enter into the new year of 2018, you're looking for renewal in your life. Maybe you're looking to recover some of the joy that you had in the past. The idea of restoration implies that there was something in the past that can be restored, that a good high point, a pleasant situation, a better life. And the psalmist describes what he sees as what used to be when he begins the psalm. He talks about a time when God showed favor to his land. He speaks about a time when God restored the fortunes of Jacob. Now, the fortunes, of course, for us often means purely fortune as in wealth, that if somebody has a fortune, then we think they're very, very rich. But, of course, the fortunes of a person are the turns of events in their lives, the situation and circumstances in which they live, of which wealth is only one thing. And so the psalmist becomes a little bit more specific in his description of what the fortunes of Jacob were. The good situation that they enjoyed before was that God was forgiving the iniquity of the people, and he covered their sins. He set aside his wrath and turned from fierce anger. He's recalling that throughout the history of God's dealing with his people in Israel, God was willing to forgive when Israel turned from its sins, that they would cry out to him even after turning to other gods, and he would listen, he would see their repentance, he would forgive their sins. So when he recalls this past situation of God forgiving the sins of the people, he probably has in mind the current situation of his people, that there's some sin that needs to be forgiven. There's some reason that he feels that God's wrath is against him and his people. And so we don't know exactly what the circumstances were, but when he looks to the future, he gives us some description of that. Are you looking for restoration in your life? Is there a time in the past when God seemed closer, when it seemed that you had his favor, and now you wonder or even, in fact, you know that there's some barrier between you and God? Are you crying out to God for restoration and recalling how you used to have a closeness with him? It's wonderful, actually, to have that evidence of his grace to look back on, to remember his faithfulness and be able to recall that he has shown his love to you in so many ways. Often we have had experiences when we've been living the Christian life for a number of years. We've had times when we just knew we were in a good place with God. We knew that we were walking close to him, that we had confessed our sins and that he had gladly forgiven us. So we can recall those things. But what if we don't have those memories? What if we don't recall any time in our lives when God has been close to us? What if we're just beginning a search for the truth of Christ? Well, we have to look back into other people's experience. Just as with so many other things, we find the evidence of the things that are true through the testimonies of others, through people telling us what they've seen and heard and experienced. And the Bible is full of these recollections. And so in this psalm, we have a psalmist reminding us that he himself was able to look back, maybe even not into his own living experience, but to look back and see that in the past, God had shown favor to Israel. If you were a Jewish person of those days, you would look back to the stories of the deliverance from Egypt and slavery in Egypt. But you might even look at the whole history of Israel since its deliverance from Egypt, when different enemies were turned aside by the power of God and by his grace. And you might even be able to look to what we might call the natural grace of seeing good harvests and times when everybody was in good health, when there is peace in the land. You might be able to look back into those things in your life too. And you may be able to begin to credit God with the blessings that he provided through the natural workings of the world. You might be able to say, Lord, even though I didn't know you, your hand was guiding and providing and preparing the way for us. You may be able to recognize God in the past, even if you hadn't at the time that these things were happening. And so you may cry out to God, restore us, restore me, restore my family. These days, as we look at the history of the past year, and as we look forward and into the year ahead, we may have some trepidation, wondering if the patterns of bad news that have crossed the world, violence and unrest, and less patience with others. We've seen so much bad news over the course of a year, and we kind of hope that we won't see that bad news, but that we'll go to a place of more peace and grace. What's your prayer for restoration? Is it a personal prayer? Or is it a prayer for your family? Is it a prayer for your church? Is it a prayer for the nation? Or is it a prayer for the whole earth as you pray for restoration from God? We'll take another look at this and look at it in more depth. I want to listen to a song that speaks about the new beginning we can make every day in the context of New Year's Day. Carolyn Ahrens sings a song from a few years ago called New Year's Day, and this is from her album, Feel Free. Would you listen to it with me?
To change and grow, one more.
Every day can be New Year's Day. Every day is an opportunity for God to work in us, to restore us and renew us. And that's a very good news for all of us, news that we've learned through Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross and his resurrection, that God is literally able to overcome death. And if he's able to overcome death and sin through Jesus Christ, then what can be against us? You know, in this psalm that we're looking at, we have a psalmist who is praying and he is sensing God's anger against his people. He repeats the question in different words, "Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations?" He asks God, "Put away your displeasure towards us and revive us again." What makes the psalmist worry that God's anger is against his people? Does he know from the word of the law that the wages of sin is death, that the people have been rebelling against God and going their own way? That people have not only been disobeying God, they've been neglecting him. Sometimes we think God is angry at us. We see something go wrong in our life and we wonder if that's a sign of God's displeasure. And it's certain that sin has negative consequences that comes with it. But the wrath of God, as it's described in Scripture, is always against the sin, not against the person. He urges us and calls us to let go of the sin that is corrupting our lives, to lay it down at the cross. Let Jesus destroy the power of that sin and the guilt of that sin. His anger is against that which is destroying his people. And so he calls to each of us to put away our sin, to confess it before him, and to let it go. The beginning of restoration is recognizing that there is a problem. And the problem in terms of our relationship with God, the problem begins with our disobedience and rebellion against him. But then we come into the problem sometimes of continuing to feel guilty, continuing to think God is angry after we've confessed. We want some sign from God to show us that he has restored us. And we hope for some change of feeling. And it's wonderful when those things happen. But I want to proclaim today that the sign that we have from God of his everlasting forgiveness, of his promise to restore us, is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That you may be someone who really lives in emotional feelings. You may be somebody who really doesn't feel a lot of things or doesn't recognize the difference of mood in a room or a circumstance. You may not notice some feeling because of God's restoration. But those who have put their hope in Jesus Christ hope not in feelings, but in the power of God, which did raise Jesus Christ from the dead. I urge you, if you're praying for restoration in your life, to listen to what the Lord has said and to look at what the Lord has done. Feelings can deceive us, but the work of God and the wonder he's shown in the love of his Son is something that you can bank on, something you can count on, because he does restore our fortunes. It's really wonderful to read over this psalm and see that the psalmist desires the same kinds of things that we look for. When he asks for this restoration, he describes the vision that he sees ahead of him of what life will be like when God's restoration and peace comes to his people. He sees people who are listening again to what God says, to listening to the command to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. He sees a world that has changed, a world where the people of God don't return to their previous folly, but stay close to God. And the result of this, he describes in beautiful terms, saying, "Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other." Love and faithfulness. Love is the goal of each of our lives. We want to love and be loved. And we want love that is a full and lasting love, not a love that comes and goes, that fades away. And so love and faithfulness meeting together is a beautiful image of the people of God knowing that they're secure in a love that will not fade. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. He describes a pairing of goodness. Righteousness is doing the right thing. And peace, we know, is not just the absence of violence, but a sense of security and goodwill towards one another. Too often, righteousness becomes harsh in the hands of people. People become righteous judges, become very condemning of other people. But when God is at work in restoring us, the righteousness we have is a gentle and graceful righteousness that brings peace into our relationships, that causes us to be merciful and compassionate to others, so that righteousness and peace also meet together. And God indeed will give what is good. This is the hope and the promise of this psalmist. He hopes it as he writes it, and in the Word of God it becomes a promise to us. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. The harvest that we think about these days most often is metaphorical. We have been blessed in our land of Canada with plentiful food for harvest, but the harvest that we long for is a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of goodness, a harvest of salvation for all the people. We long for the Word of God to transform lives, restoring us and others, and maybe even going beyond restoration to a place we've never been before, to a new level of maturity in Christ and in His grace. This psalm is a prayer for you and for me. It's a psalm for our nation and for our world. Let's come together with God and pray. Almighty God, thank you for the good news of your promised restoration. Help us to turn away from all things that have kept us from you, and we count on you to remember the grace you've shown us in Jesus Christ and to destroy sin, but stand us up in your presence. Almighty God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we close today, I want you to hear a hymn sung by Steve Bell, "Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus." And I do pray that as you come to God this year, that you will find that Jesus comes and lives in your heart.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.